capitalizing the development process of Bhutanese literature and movies, which I believe in turn has a tremendous impact on the creation of the GNH society in Bhutan. The objective of my studies is then to discuss how storytelling in its various modes of transmission, particularly the movie industry and television, can have impact on our collective dream of creating a Jewish society in Bhutan. And later on, I'll also try to discuss examine some limiting factors that are affecting our Buddhist storytellers, story writers, and movie makers. With a large majority of our population still living in rural areas, it looks like we still have a vast amount of untapped oral stories. Our coming together in this conference makes me wonder whether this is really true or not. Then we had this question from us. How many of the reservoirs of our oral stories, our old people, do we think we have who are still alive in our country? And have you considered the influence that urbanization has had on the remote parts of our country? This is another question that comes into my mind. I'm afraid that we're taking into granted that our oral stories are existing in abundance, still existing in abundance in our rural parts of the country. I think this is a mistaken assumption. My point here is traditional storytelling is significant. Traditional storytelling is significant till it gets recorded in written format. So I think our very reason for gathering here this morning, this day, in this conference, signifies that it is high time we recognize the means to revive and protect our stories from getting them banished from our countries. As the very theme of the conference is, I think here we are more concerned about reviving our stories than documenting our stories than trying to maintain our traditional storytelling culture alive. Because in the face of globalization, what I feel is, although traditional storytelling and story writing are two different, distinct forms of art, to document our stories, we have a very big problem. Today we are having acute shortage of writers and the paucity of literature for that matter. Because of the lack of writers that Bhutan is facing, we are not only losing our oral stories, but we are losing our contemporary stories as well. The events that's taking place, the fascinating events in fact, that's taking place in this golden era of Bhutan's evolution as a GNH aspiring nation, as a democratic nation. Today's fascinating events are limited only to television and newspaper news. We do not have other forms of documentation of our stories. the order for 100 milliwatts. As I said before, stories and our culture are transmitted through various medium, and among them, movies, witness movies, the local film industry has come as one of the most influential mode of transmission of stories and culture. The increasing growth of plagiarized movies is dominating our local film industry, and this is leading to the loss and erosion of our much cherished religion and culture. And today, because of this, we are witnessing an increase in the import of foreign cultures in this last Shangri-La. Now, I'll discuss the close relationship that exists between storytelling, story writing, and the local film and the film industry, and see how these three interrelated art forms have direct impact on our collective dream of creating an enlightened GMH society. Initially, like some of you may also have thought this, I was of the opinion that storytelling and story writing were one and the same thing. But later on, after reading a few articles on the internet, I came to know that these were two distinct art forms, but however, they were very parallel, and they are found inextricably interwoven with each other. And as simple as it is, written stories can be told, and told stories can be written. So I take this as the basic relationship with the due respect to the professional storytellers, because as I said before, I have not much idea of whether my opinion is correct or not. That's why in my presentation here, breaking away from this conventional categorization of storytelling and story writing as two distinct art forms, I would like to take that advantage and claim that story writers are no different than storytellers. In fact, I would like to give an upper hand to story writers and say that these are writers, writer storytellers. Although I agree that some things will definitely be lost when translating foreign stories from one medium to another, my belief here is, I think it is better safe, S-A-V-E, safe, than, sorry, I think it's better that we preserve our stories than have them lost altogether and revealed later on. Because whatever the medium be, I think it's important to realize that the end is happiness, and the means are what it is, takes to get it there, and whether it's old form with new content or new form with old content, as long as we get to the end, I think we have this, we can break a little bit away from our conventions and then try a different experiment. Especially in the face of globalization, the reason why I'm emphasizing on the need to document our stories is because in the face of globalization and the change that is unstoppable, I think trying to stick to convention and trying to maintain our traditional storytelling culture alive I believe this is very difficult. Because, for example, theater performances by schools, institutions and groups, which were, I think, the popular occasions that people look forward to in the 70s and 80s, these have almost died in Bhutan. This is one good example of how I say you need to document all the stories. Now, having said this, let us have a look at some facts about writers and writings in Bhutan. As said before, we are having very few writers in Bhutan. And among the few, again, story writers are very rare. A close analysis into our Bhutanese collection of books reveals that books in Bhutan are hugely dominated by books on Bhutan. These are either research papers, history books, or some general books. The kind of books that students, teachers, general public would be interested in reading or buying for that matter is not available at all in our Bhutanese book market. So far, I think there are only a few short story books, few novels, novels hardly three, I think, and a few novellas, of course. And I think because some of our people make a mistaken assumption that there is no respectable reading culture in Bhutan, which I see is not true. It's a bit overgeneralized. I think Bhutanese are generally receptive to reading. If we check in the local bookshops and ask them about the buyers of novels and story books that are falling into their places, they give us reports. Say, for example, the famous, the very popular books, like The Monk Who Sold His Ferrari and You Can Win by Shiv Khera. These books, they say, are being sold every month. So 60 or 70 copies are being sold every month from their shops. So this shows, this shows Bhutanese do read books. The only thing, the only limitation is because we are not having adequate books to read. So saying Bhutan doesn't have a respectable reading culture is an overgeneralized statement. This is a photograph that I took from Tekong Enterprise in the section, and you can see it's very clear together. As I said earlier, these days television and movies have become the most influential medium of transmission of culture, especially to the younger generations. Writers and movie makers have a vital role to play in guiding our society, in portraying the good example to our society. Writers, be they novelists or short story writers or screenwriters, they have a direct impact on our filmmakers who in turn are having a tremendous impact on the identity and the culture of our changing society today. The relationship between writers and storytellers is, of course, very obvious. Writers facilitate stories for filmmakers. The first step in the production of any movie is a script, which is a story, and that story is being written by a writer. So here, as simple as it is, I think writers and filmmakers have this close correlation, at least two professionals, professionalism is having a very big impact on our daily society. The production of movies basically depends on the availability of, therefore, the availability of our oral stories and rich written literature. Most of the movies are produced after the stories from novels and books are being adapted into movies, into this script. There are many living examples, like J.K. Rowling's famous Harry Potter series. This was not first movie, it was first a book, then it was later adapted into movies. We all know this. So, like this, I think writers play a very important role in influencing our movie makers to adapt their stories into movies. Now we'll try to see some relation between Buddhist movies, the fact about Buddhist movies in Jainist society. Ever since Bhutan produced its first movie, sometimes in the early 1980s, starting from a popular folk tale of folklore, called Gasalam Singhi, today I think we have more than 120 movies released so far. And this figure is according to the website of the Motion Picture Association of Bhutan. My earlier statement that the production of movies depends on oral stories and rich literature, written literature, is, I think it is proven here by looking at what the first movie in Bhutan was. It was adapted from our popular folk story, Gasalam Singhi, and later on, many movies came up, like Book or I don't remember all the movies. All these movies were first adapted from popular local stories. So, however, the wording change that we are seeing today is our local film industry is being increasingly dominated by plagiarized movies, especially from India and Korean, particularly Korean movies. So here, I would like to give a brief account, the observation that I made a few days ago here in Limpopo, because I was coming down from below the Bhutan Dam's office building towards the main market, walking down, and when I reached near the pizzeria hotel, I saw a group of boys. There were four or five of them, a group of Bhutanese boys. They were dressed up in a very odd-looking fashion, hip-hop, modern dress. And they had this heavily gelled saffron coat, had spiky hair. This group of boys, Bhutanese boys, making themselves look like Korean, one of them had this paper in their hand, in his hand, and they were gathered together, and they were probably rehearsing, and they were singing a Hindi song. So there were a lot of mixture of elements there. Bhutanese group of boys in Korean style, dressed in American hip hop style, singing a Hindi song. Some kind of very uneasy feeling dawned into my mind, and I had to run away from that scene. Because there were a group of Indian laborers watching these boys singing. So like this, I think our children are the most affected. Because in Bhutan, I think we have a shortage of theaters, most of the movies are screened in schools only, be it in especially in the rural areas. And the big worry is our children are the most affected. This is one example of a movie, of modern movies. Of course, obviously no one would like to make a movie to run into commercial loss. They always think hit movies will fetch them good money, and maybe that's why they tend to copy foreign movies. The second reason that I find is, I think Bhutanese are generally too much dependent. I think this has developed as a culture in our country. Whatever it is, we're always complacent, and as it makes it good, we're always very complacent, and we tend to depend on others for everything. I say we may depend on other countries, on our neighboring nations, for salt, for clothes, for matchsticks, or matches, whatever, but I feel depending on stories and depending on our culture for other countries may not be wise. This is the big worry that I feel. This will, because directly jeopardize the very sovereignty of our country. Here I am reminded of Stephen Evans' statement of yesterday, what he said was, if this is your land, where are your stories? So I'm afraid one day we might have, our future generations might confront with this type of questions. Not them asking this question to outsiders, but outsiders asking these questions to them. This is a big question. So in order to guide our filmmakers, which is affecting our society in a lot, many profound ways, we need to have writers. And I think the unavailability of writers is the missing link here. We need to have writers. We need to have writers who can not only document oral stories, but can also document the events that's taking place right now. Because what I believe is stories, the folk tales, which we say today folk tales, are, this goes on, I mean, continuously. The story of maybe 13th century becomes folktale in the 18th century. Likewise, the story in the 60s becomes a folktale today. And our story will become a folktale for our future generations, maybe 50 years from now. So this way, I think, to document the story is very important. Now, you might like to ask why we have only a few writers in Bhutan. And some of the limiting factors here are, of course, Bhutan open to the world only late. One reason is because of its own self-imposed isolation. And secondly, our country, I think we have only about 59% of literacy rate. We have a low literacy rate, we are still growing. A look into the latest publication of Bhutan Business Directory, the Yellow Pages, which has been published by Bhutan Times, it shows that Bhutan do not have any accredited publishing houses. So that's why the writers, aspiring writers, are facing a lot of problems there. And even if you have the book that you want to publish, this gets rejected. As I saw this morning, one of the member of CBS, the guy here, written a storybook, but I learned from him that this was rejected from Bhutan, and he had to go consult all the way, go away from here and get it published through Nepal. So I think we have a lot of problems here. And if we don't have good editors, that's why we are having a very, because of the lack of books here, we are having small reading population. Not that we do not have a good reading culture, because there's no books at all to be read. I think I've left this public, the point, underutilized of public library services. As a librarian, I feel. And as a country, as our society, knowledge is becoming increasingly knowledge-based. Having a public library service is very important. The lone public library service that we have here in Thimphu, the National Public Library, I think this is in a very pathetic condition, so pathetic that I feel it is a dishonor to name it after our late beloved father of modern Bhutan. I believe it is high time we have come up with modern library services. So this are some of the new factors that are affecting our storytellers and story writers. And lastly, we have something that is available in abundance, that is increased distraction. To counterbalance these forces, I say we need writers who can write stories and tell stories. Lastly, I would like to put up some recommendations. We must document our oral stories. This is very crucial, very important for us. And for this to be done, I think we need to introduce creative writing courses for our students as well as for grown-up people, for aspiring writers. And we must encourage our publishers through possible government support. And we need to educate our filmmakers, because I think filmmakers also have responsibility beyond money. They are having a big impact, significance on our society. And we need to open public libraries in every town in Bhutan. And I think we need to encourage and support our writers to hosting conferences like this, to introducing awards, national awards. Thank you, Industry.
Inviting me back to Bhutan. This is my second trip, and every time I come, it gets better. So I thank you for inviting me, and I thank you for the opportunity I have to share with you. I wanted to start today by sharing with you what I do a lot of, and that's storytelling. And by the way, I need to thank Professor Sobel, who was my professor as I graduated from East Tennessee State University with a master's degree in storytelling. Thank you, Dr. Sobel, because I'm from the land of sunshine, which is Florida, and also the land where Disney World is located. So I live about 70 miles from Disney World. So what I wanted to do with you is to start with a story. And this is a strange kind of story, and you're going to have to listen really carefully and watch to see if you can understand what's going on. Once there was a land, far away land. I don't know the name of the land. Well, it was no story land. What is no story land? Well, it's a land where nobody tells stories. People are there, but they don't tell stories. You see, they had a king. I don't know the king's name. And this king did not like stories. And so he decreed, there will be no stories in this kingdom. And you know what happened? Everybody obeyed the king, and they stopped telling stories. What happened? Well, all right, I'll tell you. What happened is this. Nobody talked to each other. Oh, they would ask a question like, where are you going, or what is happening? But the only answers they would give would be, yes, no. So if you didn't have a yes or no question, you couldn't answer. And you know what? Pretty soon, they just quit saying yes and no, and they just went... And the people got quieter. Now, they also stopped singing because you can't sing because singing involves stories. So there was no music. Whoa. They did not have any books because books have
stories.
They didn't have any newspapers because
stories.
They didn't have any movies because
stories.
They had no television because
stories.
And the people got quieter. Well, they didn't have any, and you might like this, they had no school. Why? Because they had to have books and they had to have stories. So they had no
school.
And the people got quieter. Well, they had no places to go, because if they went out, they would just pass each other on the street and they would say, no stories in Storyland. You know what? The food got terrible. The reason that the food got terrible is because there were no recipes. Because how can you give a recipe if there's not a story? And then they stopped eating cooked food. You know why? There were no stories about the fire. And the people got quieter. And pretty soon, nobody got married. Because they couldn't ask each other to get married. So, there was no marriage. And pretty soon, there were no... Because the mothers and the fathers would not know how to take care of the babies. So, the whole Storyland got... Well... I'd like to tell you that it worked out all right, but it didn't. Because you see, what happened is that people began to know that there was this place called No Story Land, and they didn't like those people. So nobody came to No Story Land. And the people couldn't talk about it, so the people didn't leave. So nobody came, and nobody left. And the whole Storyland got
quiet.
Well, pretty soon the king looked out and he said,
what is going on in my kingdom?
Nobody said anything because the king had said, and in order for them to answer the king, they would have to tell him. Well, the king thought, well, somebody ought to talk to me, but nobody talked to the king because nobody could tell any stories. Nobody talked to each other, and the whole Storyland got even
quieter.
You know what happened? No. Storyland died. Storyland died. Because there were no people to tell stories. And the king was very sad. And he did not know why his kingdom died when all he had said was, no stories, please. Well, he didn't really say please. No stories. And no stories meant that today you cannot visit No Story Land because it's I like that story because I think it tells the story of what stories can do in our community. Now, I can give you a lot of statistics and numbers and facts. Oops. You as students get a lot of facts, don't you? As a professor, I can tell you I gave my students a lot of facts and they all forgot them. But facts are what we test you on. We don't test you on stories. And yet, stories, the facts without stories, do not last. Do not last. So, what are stories? Well, stories are the essence of our culture. They teach you how to live in a hostile or a fragile environment. They represent the collective memory of your people, and they encapsulate your values. Sometimes they promote a hero, and storytelling becomes the cultural history and your social life. It is the recounting of myths, folklore, and other forms of oral narrative that maintain group solidarity and identity. Story has the power to transform, to reignite, and to keep you informed. Now, if you were to ask me to define story,